We're going to continue with our teaching. We were teaching about the fact that you must trust what you can't see. You've got to trust what you can't see. And it's always good to understand that faith is that way. Amen. Faith is that way. Praise God. Miss Nola, let the girls know we can hear them. Whatever they banging on it, tell them it's dead already, okay? It can't kill it twice. Thank you. Praise God. So anyway, but we were speaking last time about the invisible realm and how important it is to trust in what you can't see. If you are trusting in what you can't see, you must be trusting in God's word regarding that thing. Faith makes all the difference. What you believe makes all the difference in the world. If you're not believing, you can confess it all you want, you can speak it all you want, and you can say it all you want, but if it's not faith in God's word, it will not come to pass. It won't avail you anything. And this is how we get what we desire from God. You've got to partner with him by believing his word and speaking his word and hiding his word in your heart and allowing that word to work a process on you, which is called persuasion. So why don't we start there so I can see if we can shed some light on that process so that you will understand the difference between your efforts when something really does come to pass and when you're just saying things for the sake of saying it because you don't understand what you're doing when you say it. We gotta understand what we're doing when we say these things. We need to know that what we say is important. Amen. What you think is important, what you believe is important. All of it works together. There is an intent in what you say. There's got to be an intent there. We can't just be shooting arrows out in the dark and hoping something lands, you know, which is what we do sometimes. If we don't really understand faith, we don't understand confession, we don't understand any of that, then it's going to be hard for us to really come into agreement with God because we have to agree with him all the way down the line. Your thinking has to be his thinking. Your heart has to be his heart. Your intent has to be the same intent that he has. And so many times we will confess the word, but we're not sure what we're intending to see happen. Many times we're not sure we're going to see anything happen. And all the guilty people said, amen. We're guilty, but not guilty. You know what I'm saying? It's something that we experience on the way to developing our faith. So it sometimes can be part of the process of developing our faith in what God's word says, but we can't stop at not having the right intent or not understanding God's intent when he says things. When God speaks his word, he means for it to come to pass. Amen. And many times we'll speak the word and we're not sure. Amen. When you start out, you just are saying stuff and, you know, you're saying it and then sometimes you want to fool the saints. So you ain't sure what to say in front of some people. You know, we use our words and our confession for a lot of things. And sometimes deceit is part of that. You know, when you're deceitful, you're just saying things to sound good or to go along with the crowd or to not suffer any kind of consequences, criticism, all of that stuff. And we just say stuff to see how it goes going over when if we convince them we got it made, you know. And we need to back up and understand what your words are really for. Your words are not for fooling people. They're not for sounding like anybody. And they're not for your ability to go along with the crowd. But your words are to guide your life. Your words are light to your path, amen, so they light up the way that you are to go. Your actions should always follow your words. There should be no words that just lie out there that you don't intend to follow up on. The Bible says you'll give an account for that. Every idle word you speak, you will give an account for it. Amen. And so we need to take more, I guess I would say, take more responsibility for our words, understand more, get a better understanding of what words are for, and have the same intent with what we say that God has. We can't hold him to a high standard and then we come in lowballing everything. You know, we expect God to keep his word, but then we don't have to do what we say we're going to do. You got to match him. He wants his kids to be like him. See, he doesn't have any deceivers in his family. He doesn't have any people who speak idle. Amen. When Jesus, this is what made Jesus so powerful. Not just the anointing, not just the Holy Spirit, not just the power of God on his words, but he was a man of integrity. When he talked to people, he meant for what he said to come to pass. Amen. No excuses and no exceptions. And so we got it. And people say, oh, you can't be serious. Oh, yes, you can. I said it again. Yes, you can. You should not want to use your mouth, your words, your anything in your life for frivolous purposes. You don't have time to waste down here. You don't have time to get involved with idleness and foolish jesting and all that stuff that the Bible talks about. It's being a waste of time. And you know it's a waste of time because it never prospers you anything anyway. You know, you can be the life of the party telling jokes to everybody, but when you get up in the morning, you got to have a real job and you got to be able to take real money to a real bank to get your real needs made. So we don't have time for that. God didn't put us here for that. He put us here for the work of the ministry. He put us here to develop the character of Christ within us so that we can be of use to him and we can be of use to ourselves through the mechanism of faith. Amen. Faith is what makes all the difference for us. So when we talk about intent, ask yourself, what do I want to see happen as a result of my speaking? Am I just talking or is there an intent here? What do I want to see happen as a result of my speaking or my confession? And we must match God's intent in his word in order for it to come to pass. So we are actually saying things with a certain expectation on it. You can't leave words out there just dead idle with no expectation on it, or just guessing, or I'm wondering if this is going to do anything. If I really say the word, is it going to do anything? If I listen to the word, is it really healing me? You know, we have to get ourselves lined up so that we can expect the same thing God expects. This is how miracles happen. It's the difference, you know, whether it takes a day, instant, a year, or anything, for our expectation to materialize depends on how we line ourselves up with what we know God's intent is. And when you look at what Jesus did in the Word, most of what he did was pretty much instantaneous unless it was hindered by the other person's faith. That would be us. You got me? And so what you want to do is keep your faith sharpened. That's your job. To keep your faith real, to keep it in the same vein as God's flow, amen, and to allow God to use you with the same intent that he has in what he does. And so when you get God's intent, you tend to pursue things until it's accomplished. You don't drop things and move on to something else or say, well, I don't know when this is going to happen, so I'm going to leave this alone. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've done it. Come on now. Yeah, we all do that because we don't. We get to that, like, it's almost like a brick wall you hit with your confession and you're this and you're that. And we're not sure exactly what to think, what to do, or what to say. But we know when we started out this journey, we wanted to see that come to pass. That was something you really wanted. But at some point on the journey, what happens is that we lose heart. We get discouraged. We let another force other than faith take over the operation. See, when you get to the point where you're not expecting, you let that deadness come in there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, you've been confessing the word, and I thought it would happen by now, and it didn't happen yet. What do you do? And see, many people will look at that as the end of the journey. This is the brick wall. This is the this. This is, and the devil helps you. Throwing you thoughts. There's enough. You throw yourself enough of them as it is, but then the devil will help you with some of his. You need to quit that. You know, if it ain't happened by now, it ain't going to happen. Look how old you are. Look at this. Look at that. Nobody wants somebody with, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's, and it all happens through a mechanism called persuasion. We're going to talk about that some today because you can be persuaded either way. Amen. You can be persuaded God's way, or you can be persuaded the enemy's way. And if you let the enemy get your attention long enough, you'll faint, you'll quit, you give up, you'll be like a walking zombie. You'll be coming to church, going through all the motions, but you ain't believing God worth nothing. So this is to keep you out of derailment. Amen. So what is it, amen? So what does it mean to persuade? It means to convince through reasoning or argument. 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2:5 or 5, tells us to cast down imaginations or arguments. That's one of the terms, imagination, argument, it's a conversation in your mind. And it says to cast that down when it tries to override and overrule and overtalk God's word to you. So any thought that comes to you that's contrary to God's word and it persists in trying to wear down the word of God, we're to cast that down. We're not to even entertain it. We're not to think about it. It can't come into our thought life. It's not part of the equation of God to get you to where you need to go. Where you need to go takes the word, and nothing but the word. Amen. You need to be looking for another scripture to add to that little one. The little one you got is just on a, you know, life support, barely keeping you entertained. You got me? So you need to add something to that. That's why the Bible tells us to add things to our faith. Amen. What do you add to your faith first? Strength. You know, when you say, well, I'm just tired. I'm tired. Stop saying that. You know, you ain't tired. You're just getting started. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You know, just quit expressing these emotions that hits your brain that the devil puts there. Amen. The minute somebody comes in and tells you, girl, God blessing you with this, and look at what I found in the mail. You ain't tired no more, are you? Tired flew out the window and you ready to look in your cash app. You know what I'm saying? That's just how quick, you know, if a voice can do that to you, then your own voice can do it too. Your own voice can persuade you. You ain't tired. You're not at the end of the rope. What's happening to you is something that's common to man. You're not an exception. Amen. Be careful when you start getting in the exceptional category all the time. You know, you get some bad news and the first thing that goes through your head is, who else is going? I'm the only one going through this. Huh? Makes no difference. Huh? Makes no difference. If somebody said, gee, you're the only one in the Powerball drawing, which you ain't supposed to be in there, you'd be so happy. Why is it when we think we're the only one with a problem, we just, oh boy, I'm the only one, loneliest person in the world. Sometimes it's good to be the only one experiencing certain things. You could get a miracle. You don't need company. Huh? What makes you think you yet need company for what you're going through? People come and tell you, oh yeah, you know, I feel sorry for you. No, don't do that. Yep. And I don't want y'all going to people rubbing on them with pity and all that nonsense. If you can't lay hands on people and pray for them, you don't get that unction. Just keep going. Amen. Pray for them under your breath or whatever you need to do, but you don't need to add to their misery. Amen. Get involved in all that soulish nonsense. You don't need nobody feeling sorry for you. Can't take it to the bank. Can't take it to the altar. You understand? You can't take that nowhere. Amen. And so this is what is happening. It's a persuasion thing. It's all it is. In Romans chapter 4, we see that there was a lot against Abraham. A lot. You know, we see people like this. We see Job. We see Abraham. We say, I'm glad that ain't me. Don't ever say that. Because they're in there for a reason. The Bible says they are examples to us. Maybe your situation isn't the mirror image of theirs or exactly like theirs, but the Bible says you're going to have your share of trouble. Amen. But you're an overcomer. You're not a succumber. You don't succumb to what's upon you. You overcome it. And there's a way to overcome anything. But you got to be persuaded. You can't just keep saying the word, wondering why it didn't happen yet. Say it some more. Wonder why it didn't happen yet. Say it some more. Wonder why it didn't happen yet. There's something in between there. Amen. There's something going on there that hasn't lined up quite right, but you can easily get it lined up right. You know, if you can miss it, you can line it up. And so it's here, it says, he was not weak in faith. He was not weak in faith. He was not weak in faith. Now, there was a point that he had been. We see Abraham grow. And this is what you got to understand about you. Quit playing these religious games with your head, trying to act like you got it all together when you know you don't. Or maybe you don't know you don't, and this is news to you. Write it down, date it. You know, like you do everything else important that comes in your life. Just write it down, date it, and understand you don't have it all together. Amen? God is making us, all of us. Amen? Through this mechanism, it's a mental mechanism called persuasion. This is what's missing with a lot of this. Confess the word, believe you receive it when you pray. I believe I receive it. Then you got another few steps to go. You got to be fully persuaded. You're not waiting on a manifestation. That's why, you know, when over the years we've corrected ourselves in saying that, because that's really not what's going on. God's waiting for you to be fully persuaded. Let's say it again. God's waiting on us to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Things that you prayed for in the past, in your heart, you've given up on them. Amen? Because your behavior indicates it. Hello? You don't make plans for it? You don't think about it? When you think about it, you get upset on the inside. You kick it out of your brain. It's not part of your thinking anymore. Got me? So something happened to take you from hero to almost zero in that department. And what happened is not that you didn't persuade yourself it was God, but you allowed the enemy to persuade you that it wasn't for you. I'm going to say it again. You know, we think we can just go around like robots and read a few scriptures and start saying them, and it happened right away. If that's right, why isn't it there yet? See, there's something missing in that gap somewhere. It's called persuasion. And it can happen in a minute. And it can be delayed. It's just all up to you how you want to see things really happen for you. But you've got to persuade yourself that God can do it. It's for you. Everything about this thing has to be on the right level, or it really won't happen yet. It can still happen, but it's not going to happen without you persuading yourself and allowing God to persuade you through His Word that this is really for you, and this is where you're going in life, and this is where God wants to take you. And so Abraham was promised something by God. Promised to him when he first met him. He told him he was going to have a bunch of offspring. He was going to bless him that way. But Abraham stepped out without faith. So without faith, what happened? Say it loud. Ishmael was born. So when Ishmael came through, he did not what? Please God. So God said, nope, you get a do-over. Everybody say hallelujah. Yeah, thank God you get a do-over. You're not, I mean, seriously? You think you're out of the game because you made a mistake? You stepped out without faith? How many of us do that in life? You do it over and over again. So we're all out here trying to understand the faith principle and how to receive what we need from the Lord by faith, how to please Him with our faith. And so you have to be pleased with God by lining up with His mind, what His intent is. Everything that God wants to have done is got to line up in order to please Him. Where Abraham did not please God and Sarah did not please God with Ishmael wasn't that Sarah was not the mother. Now, it took 20 years for God to come along and convince them that that's what He wanted and to get them to believe that. Amen. So God walked with them and worked with them for all those years to convince them that there was a better way. See, God wants to show us the better way. He wants to give us the real promise. He wants to give us the thing that He has in store for us and not the substitute that we can conceive on our own without Him. I don't care what it is you want in life, it's better if you follow God's plan. Amen. I see so many young people now wasting time trying to do it their way, trying to do it. And I'm thinking if you would just pray and ask God how to get it into your life His way, you can cut out a lot of frustration, wasting time. You know, at some point it will be too late, chronologically speaking or naturally speaking. You understand what I'm saying? And so we've got to understand how to do these things by faith and persuasion. Because it says here in verse 18 in Romans 4, who against hope believed in hope. So really, Ishmael was his hope. Amen? It was the natural, it was how Abraham brought the promise to pass on his own, with his own strength, in a natural way. So Ishmael was a hope that he had. I hope God will receive him. I hope I'm doing the right thing. I'm hoping this is what, and he, even when he saw all the chaos in the family, when he saw the trouble that was going on there was no peace in that household. In fact, Abraham probably invented the man cave. I mean, how you gonna get along with the wife and the, you know, the side whatever chick? You understand what I'm saying? You just gonna have to retreat somewhere. And that really was not what God wanted. But God allowed them to see over a process of time that it was not peaceful. It was not working. It was not. So at some point, you have to get to the point where you say, you know what, God, I thought it was going to be like this, but I see I was wrong in the way I was thinking about it. So let me let this go and you show me what you had in mind when you told me you were going to do that for me. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to want his will at some point. And you'll have to revive and refresh maybe a promise that had lain dormant for a season in order to get what it is that God wants for you. Because this is exactly what happened to them. If you want what God really promised, you're going to have to lay aside your control. Lay aside what you think. Lay aside how you think it's supposed to go. Lay aside your time limits and what you think is got to happen in a certain period of time and all that kind of stuff. You got to lay that aside. And you've got to allow God to work on you and get you fully persuaded that what he's talking about, you can let him do it. You can understand it. It's not too late for you, and it's going to work for you. You've got to let him convince you of all of that, and he will do it. It's not like it takes forever. The last time he spoke to Abraham and Sarah, it was 1 year later, and that boy was born. So it doesn't take God. We got to stop putting God on slow motion, and we put ourselves on speed dial. Like you can mess it up real fast. I know I can. But see, we got to take God off of slow motion and put him on just in time. See, if you look at God as bringing things to you just in time and him being able to control time to give you more time or allow you to enjoy life in a short span of time where you thought it would be for years, you'll be able to line up with where he is and you'll be able to receive the things that he wants you to have. The way he wants you to have them. And so we've got to unpersuade ourselves about many things and allow God to persuade us about his way of doing things. And it says against hope, against Ishmael, he believed in Isaac. Amen. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith. Now, how'd he go from weak faith Ishmael to being strong in faith? How'd that happen? Somebody keep reading for me and you'll get the answer. Everybody got it? How did he not be weak in faith? No, what does it say there? What you reading over there? You better get in Romans over there daydreaming again. Huh? Yeah, right. Get over in Romans 4. Because everybody in here needs this. Has everybody been sitting around wanting stuff? And you see the empty chairs. Those are people that quit wanting it. Hello? So you don't want to go down empty chair street. But you don't want to be going through the motions either. You want to use your faith like God intended for you to use it. So how was he not weak in faith? He didn't consider his body. Now, what weakens us in our faith is we consider what we contribute. You consider your qualifications. You consider your intellect. You consider your money. You consider your whatever. It's always what you can contribute to the answer. Amen? That's weak faith. Why? Because it's carried out through human flesh. You're depending on human flesh for your answer. Amen? You know, you'll see people, they single people, and they, oh, I'm too old to get married. Well, you weren't 10 years ago. What were you ever using your faith then? You understand what I'm saying? Start using your faith. I don't care what age you, see, this is where we lose what we think we're waiting on. We start considering us, my age, my strength, my lack of strength, my intellect, my money, how much I have, all that. You start considering that, you'll never get here. This weak faith that considers how much time has gone past. I don't know what happened. He did not consider his own body, which was the problem to begin with. Amen? When God met them, they were older people. And Sarah was barren. So she considered her body unable. So here's a young maid they picked up in Egypt. So she's the mother. I donate a mother to you, God. And God said, no thanks. He didn't say it then. See, sometimes you gotta let people see their own. Do you understand what I'm saying? They never would have believed God at that point anyway. I'm gonna say it again. If God had told them it's gonna be Sarah and not her at that point in their walk with God, they would not have believed him. So sometimes he lets us do our thing and let experience teach you. See, if experience didn't teach them, they would not have been able to come to the conclusion that we need a second chance. Amen. See, part of what they saw was the fruit of their helping God. It's a mess in here. Where are you at, Abraham? I'm out. I took a walk. I'm on my Harley for 2 months. You got me? And so when there's no peace, there's no contentment, then they're convinced. They say, oh, really? We get a do-over? They're excited about it now. See, there are some things that people think they won't be excited about, but when God begins to spell it out to you, you are. And he can't show you that back here. He has to wait for you to get up here to show it to you. That's part of persuasion. Part of persuasion is just God letting you get tired of doing stuff your way. Amen? Seeing the mess up, the half done, the making excuses, the Abraham got to break up a fight every day. You got me? Hostility, all of that. No peace. See, you begin to value peace. See, most people, when they start out, they think they want excitement. But how many of you know peace is far superior? Amen. Most of y'all, our brains can't handle too much excitement. So he says here, he staggered not being weak in faith. See, strong faith does not consider the visible. Strong faith does not consider symptoms, does not consider impotence, does not consider lack of finances, anything. And he didn't consider Sarah's womb either, the deadness there, because that's what got him Ishmael. Considering he had to not consider all of that. Now, let me tell you where people get on a wrong road and get bad advice all the time. You're praying for a situation that looks hopeless. Say you've got a spouse that is out in the streets, been praying for them to get saved, and it doesn't look like they're any closer as far as what you can see. Where you make your mistake is, number one, keeping up with their every move and not letting God control things. And then if you watching stuff, you going to be putting some input. Come on now. Don't say, I ain't really watching. I'm just saying. Now you ready to dip in there and tell them what for. And then you mention that to some saint that's supposed to know everything, or one that don't know nothing. You just running your mouth about it. Oh, well, God don't save everybody. People have to want to get. They have to want to get saved. They have to want to. They have to want to. What do you think God's doing on the inside of them? Persuasion is not something you can see. It's in the unseen realm. That's why we don't know what's going on. That's why we can't predict who's going to get saved, who ain't going to get saved, who going to get healed, who ain't going to get healed. Because you don't know about persuasion. Well, God won't cross human will. Ever heard that one? Free will. If you serving the devil, I got news for you. Your will ain't free. It never has been. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You don't have no free will. You done willed it over to something. Bible says you serve them one master or another. Do that sound free to you? So we hear all those little buzzwords, and little by little we quit expecting, quit praying, quit being encouraged. Why? We're looking in the natural. That's weak faith. You're looking at what they do over and over again. Don't look at that. Well, what do I look at? Mind your own business. I'm sure you got enough stuff going on in your life to tend to yours. So as long as you're looking at natural signs, your faith is weak. You don't need nothing to believe God. You don't need to see nothing to believe him. I'm sorry. Your eyeball don't need to feast on anything to believe God, because you have his word. And he wants you to stay in his word, because you need to be persuaded. Problem is not with whether or not they gonna get saved. You don't believe they will, because your faith is yet weak. Weak faith considers natural things, temporal things, temporary things. Anybody that's on their way to hell, it's temporary. You can interrupt that at any time. You know, if you can go out witness to somebody you don't know and get them saved, your husband, son, brother, whoever it is, will be saved too. You believe in salvation for one. Who are you? You going to cut something off for another person? So he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He did with Ishmael. Ishmael represents weak faith, considering his body, considering Sarah's womb. All of these things that are listed here, the Ishmael was the outcome of those considerations. Amen. It was something unacceptable to God as far as what he promised. Amen. Now you can say you happy in that kind of household, Abraham, but why is Sarah always angry and eyeballing you and the maid? And now you got to go down in the man. You got to create the man cave. And you can only go so far with them. You can't move it out of town. You understand what I'm saying? Even though you may want to at times. So Isaac, the promise of God, represents peace, prosperity, inheritance. It represents all of the things that God spoke to Abram when he first told him what he was going to give him. Amen. So the promise of God reflects the intent of God. God's intention was to make this couple happy, to make them the parents of many offspring for many generations, that kings and you know, how you gonna have kings coming out of a little wild man? He has yet to produce that line. You know, people look at the Arab nations, they ain't real kings. Them people made themselves kings after World War II. You can't trace most of them back nowhere. You got it? And so this is something that we have to understand, that it is the work of faith to get us persuaded about God's word. It may seem impossible when you first start, but there is a process God takes us through to persuade us that what he is saying really is true. It's really going to happen. God really is going to do this for you. It's really going to come to pass. It's really, really, really. You got me? And as many times as you have to remind yourself that, you do it because you don't want to slip. You don't want to let the promises of God go bye-bye, because you'll be sitting here bored waiting on nothing. Everybody else is waiting on the train or on the train or, you know, engaged in what God wants them to do. You're employed by God. You begin to see things that you can do to hasten the process. You can hasten the process of receiving what you need from God. Yeah, you got me? Faith is faith. Whatever you use exercising your faith counts toward your biggie, whatever you biggie word, wait, no. Whatever you do to exercise your faith counts toward it. It strengthens your faith. When it says Abraham did not consider his body or Sarah's, he thought about something else, something that was counter to. Instead of thinking about what they couldn't do anymore, they thought about what they could do with God. God promised he's going to do it. Yeah. So whatever you think is hindering your promise from coming to pass, quit thinking about that. Think about the opposite thing. Start to persuade yourself instead of waiting on everybody else to give you the pep talk and the, you know what I'm saying, pulling you out of the corner. You know, you're back in the corner sucking your thumb again because I don't know what's going to happen. It just ain't nothing happening for me. You need to get in faith. There's plenty of stuff waiting for all of us. You know what I'm saying? We get in faith on it. It'll happen. You got to sell yourself on the idea of you prospering, because you are always your biggest hindrance. Amen. Got to persuade yourself. So it says here, in being fully persuaded, he did not stagger through unbelief. He believed fully. And what did he believe? That what God promised, God, not Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, God's able to do it. I don't know how, I don't know when, so don't start quizzing me on it. I know he told me he's going to do it, and he's not a man that he should lie, and he's going to do it. And in the meantime, you fill your soul with the intent of God. You fill your heart and your mind with what God has in mind for you. That's your job. You got to stay in there. You got to stay in faith. You can't visit faith in and out, in and out, in and out like we do. Now we know better. Keep your faith engaged. Fight to keep it engaged. Fight to keep yourself. It's a good fight because you're going to win. You got the winning team already. You don't have to just say, oh, well, I don't know what happened and this ain't going to happen. Oh, yeah, it will. God will resurrect it on you in a minute. Amen. He will. He sees us slipping down here. So he's able to bring us a word. You know, you just, some days you say, well, I don't know what's taking so long. And then you catch yourself. Lord, let me stop. You should be able to do that by now. You should never give up on anything. Anything you started day one, believe in God, and through the years, believe in God. You should still be believing God for those things. They're not canceled. Your faith cannot be canceled because it's in God. We just walk away from it. You need to have it revived. This is what God told me that's going to happen in my life, and He's going to do it. And I don't have to know why, when, how, or anything. I'm fully persuaded. He promised it. He's able to do it. And I side with God. I believe God. Don't ever say He's going to do it in spite of what I do. We don't say it, but we think it sometimes. Because we want to be the big holdup. We don't want to do the work it takes to get us in faith again. To keep us fully persuaded. To keep us encouraged. You think it's going to happen and you sitting up here with like a big lump on a log doing nothing. Amen? We can't be slothful about these things. There's no reason to be. You can be engaged and you can be energetic. All you got to do is go back and read that same scripture you read the first time you got delirious and was excited about what God was going to do for you. Amen. Stay in the Word. Continue in the Word. And He says, and now persuasion works like this. Abraham, in times of doubting, had to refresh himself in what God had promised. That's persuasion. You refresh yourself. You don't wait for somebody to come and tell you something. Because, you know, you get steeped enough in your flesh and you start getting mad and angry with people that want to tell you God has good things for you. So you help yourself. You know, put some of that stuff down that keeps you off in delirium, you know, la-la land. Get off social media. You know, that becomes an excuse for not believing God. You got all this other stuff flooding into your soul, taking up space, occupying where God needs to occupy. You know, in every generation, there's a challenge to your faith. And our generation is information. Too much of it coming from too many different sources and not enough coming from God and from His Word. Amen. You got your own Bible. Read your own Bible. You know, I mean, there's some good people on social media. Our ministry is one of them, I will have to say. But a lot of you don't even read the posts. So I'm trying to help you. You won't let me. Because you're doing something else. Lollygagging. Pretending. Picking fights with your so-called friends. Whatever. I'm just going to take a sip. You understand what I'm saying? Diversion is costly. Every time your attention is diverted away from the Word and what God is going to do and your future in God, it's costing you something. You can't say it doesn't matter. Oh, that's just, quit doing that. It's just robbing you. Amen? Where you can be being built up, it's tearing you down. Just saying. It's true anyway. See, we'll find out that it's really how you spend your time that will make the differences. It's not how much faith, how much you confess, how much this. It's how you spend your time and what you give your attention to. What are you giving your attention to? Giving it to God and His kingdom and His Word, or are you done with God? Because He didn't give you so-and-so way back when. And you don't know so-and-so is up ahead of you. Hurt, Pastor, but I don't care. Go get a Band-Aid. Go get a box of them. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's how deceptive the devil is and how powerful distraction is. There are a lot of people convinced that God doesn't want certain things for them that they've wanted all their lives, even before you met God. That don't mean God won't give it to you just because it was something you brought into the kingdom with you. You got me? God puts ideas in our head sometimes long before we meet him. Then when we meet him, that's the time for them to manifest. In fact, that's the only time it's going to manifest. A lot of stuff we desire as sinners, you never would have had the power to bring it to pass. Not without a curse taking it away from you. So this is the thing, folks. God wants us persuaded. Part of it he does, part of it we do. He provides us scripture. He provides us the word. And the Holy Spirit that lives in us encourages us one way or the other. He will let you know when you're on the right track. You know, there's no such thing as, I don't know why. He'll tell you. Ask him. He wants you to have what it is God wants you to have. And so he's your friend. He's your helper. He's your partner. So learn to go to him to get what you need to do in order to receive what God has for you. And as you meditate on the word, you persuade yourself. As you think the word through, you persuade yourself. Sometimes you need to question God. God, it's just so hard for me to believe that you'll still do this for me. It's so hard. I'm looking at so-and-so, and then you say, oops. You see how these conversations, mental conversations with God, can put you on the right track again? When you say, I'm looking at, you know where your mistake is. Quit looking at what it is that makes you doubt God. See, the Holy Spirit will help you locate your error and will turn you around from it and help you to get back on the right road again. Because when you first obeyed Mark 11:23, you believe you received it when you prayed, and then now down the line you've lost confidence. So you got to be persuaded right back to the place where were you when you first believed? I had joy. I was expectant. I was thinking it was going to happen any minute. Yeah, you need to get back there again. But it didn't happen any minute. Go back there anyway. What we want to start doing is prodding and poking God to see, find out more than he needs to tell us. All you need to do is get back in faith. You don't need to know what's holding it up, because you're going to keep doing it anyway. If God told you today what was holding up your efforts, you wouldn't stop. No, God, that ain't right. Now, I didn't do that, God. Now, wait a minute. Now, that wasn't me. That was my sister. She came over my house and started reading my Bible. You understand what I'm saying? Stop it. Just go back to the first place where you were believing. Say, God, help me to get back there. I don't know how to get back there. Go back to where you were. Well, I was happy then. Yeah, you can be happy now. In fact, you can be delirious now if you want to. There's no limit to the joy that God will give you once you fully believe. And there will come a point where you get it settled in you where it's rock solid and immovable. It's fully persuaded. See, while we're still looking off at something else and wondering about this in the natural and that in the natural, we're not fully persuaded. We got to quit considering what we see. Get total confidence in the unseen realm. And it's not hard. I'm going to say it again. You know, you read these things in the Bible and you look and you say, my goodness, Abraham, my goodness, they were so old. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. You in the same spot? Huh? May not be the same conditions, but you're that far away from the promise manifesting too. So instead of going, ooh, ow, ooh, ow, ooh, ow, oh, go, God, show me where it is, what I do. I can get there because he got there. I have his faith. I am his heir. I have the same faith as Abraham. I have strong faith. Show me what to do to hold on to it until you can give me what it is that you are bringing to pass. So we need to be taught how to hold on to our strong faith. Because when your faith is weak, you don't feel good. You feel away from God. You feel out of sorts. You feel like it's never going to happen. You feel like all those thoughts go through your mind. But then at some point, if you keep persuading yourself that what God says is true, you'll get to the point where it's rock solid, immovable. Amen? Where your mind doesn't waver and start compromising and settling for less. That's doubt. No, God, you told me this. I put that in there thinking I'm making it easier. For who? Nothing's too hard for God. Amen? We need to tell ourselves that over and over again. God, why am I sweating this? Why am I not being at peace about it? Because every time you get at peace, you think something wrong with you. No, I'm guilty. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm guilty. Most of us, we look for something wrong. You know, it's got to be this. It's got to be that. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't do wait a minute. No, I did that, but I didn't do that over there. You understand? We just got to find some way to indict ourselves. Amen. So you got to get out of your carnal thinking. That's your carnal mind. Even though it sounds legitimate to you, that's not the mind of God speaking to you. So you got to get over in his mind again. Think like he does. And so that's how you pick up the intent of God in what you say. Amen. So faith makes all the difference. Ishmael was the child of without faith, and God was not pleased with him. So he rejected him as the heir. But then it was up to God to bring Isaac into the earth. No, Abraham, this ain't your responsibility again. Last time you tried it, didn't work. So stop it. So I think after a while, Abram and Sarah just got to the place where their hands were tied. They had no choice but to believe God. No choice but to believe him. And that's a good place to be, whether you know it or not. Amen. You see, people would have terminal illness. It's a good place to be. God's either going to do it. You're either going to trust God or you're not going to get it at all. Amen. And so this is where you turn it over to God, and he'll show you that he has a straight, easy path to get there. This isn't the rocky road. That's the one that we create for ourselves. God has a straight, easy path for us to get our promise, and it is just to persuade ourselves daily that his word is true. Always persuade. God, you're going to do this. I don't know why I sit up here and wonder. I'm going to stop wondering, God. Help me quit wondering. And just discipline yourself. Allow yourself to speak those things mentally that need to be cleared up, that only the Holy Spirit has the answer for you. And when you start thinking on those lines, you'll find that you're not just repeating scripture to yourself mentally. You're taking that scripture and letting your mind get persuaded. You're finding all the obstacles in your thinking, all those little nooks and crannies that hold unbelief and hold doubt. You're cleaning those out. That's leaven. You can't get that into a promise of God. Remember when in the Jewish faith in spring cleaning, they would go in and get all the leaven out of the house. Remember? Because you wanted a pure work from God, a pure word from God. So all of those but ifs, what if, well, God, what about this? And that's leaven. And see, you start adding it into what God's promised, and it won't happen the way God said it to happen. And so what you want to take all that, carnal stuff out of what God's doing, and trust him totally for what he's going to do. Now, in Galatians 4, turn there for me, and I'll show you something of why Ishmael had to come through Sarah, not just because God promised it that way. In other words, God's not doing anything that's unnecessary. You know, this is what we think sometimes. We think God's being too hard. Well, I'm believing God the best way I can. I don't see why he don't just give it to me. Right? There are some things that we need to understand that God has to have in the equation for it to be true for him, for him and for all the descendants. And it says here in Galatians 4:22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, he of the free woman was born by promise, which things are an allegory. One, there are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which is, you know, was the natural law, and that's Hagar. And Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which now answers to Jerusalem, which is now in bondage with her children. So those descendants stay in bondage. Amen. They're not born free. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And so it says here that Sarah represents freedom, Hagar bondage. Well, God wants all of his descendants born in freedom. So Sarah had to be included, or we would not have an inheritance at all. If he had settled for Ishmael, there would be no inheritance, there would be no Messiah, there would be nothing. The other thing is Galatians 3:13 tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? And it says, the law is, verse 12, the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. And he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come through the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Well, how could Abraham give us his descendants a blessing until his wife got blessed? See, the curse had to be broken off Sarah before Jesus Christ could come. He could not have taken Ishmael. He could not have left Sarah barren, because Abraham's legal, intended, promised wife would be under the curse, and there would be a curse traveled on from generation to generation. So everybody in this situation had to be brought under the blessing. Amen? Everybody. So Sarah could not be left out of it, or else we would not be blessed. You got me? And so God had to break that curse off of her womb in order for all of the other generations to be blessed with that same blessing. Or you would have had some mistakes in the Messiah coming out. You would have some generations probably would have stopped somewhere along the way. But they continued from generation, because that whole line was blessed. Amen? They all came under a different priesthood. And that's why it continued. He came under an eternal priesthood. Melchizedek represents blessing across the board. Jesus is his last heir, and we are his co-heirs. So that could only happen if the curse was broken off Abraham and his seed. Amen. So he had to bring Sarah under the blessing as well, and not have any exceptions to anything. So you see how God always keeps his word to himself. He says, you're blessed, you're blessed. The eternal blessing came through Jesus Christ, and Sarah had to be his mother. Amen. No substitutes whatsoever. And so that's the way God sees it, folks. So he keeps his word to himself, that he would make Abraham the father of many nations as God intended from the beginning. This was not a substitute anyway, anything. So God does not have to substitute anything to keep his word to us. He can keep his word all the way down the line. He can include, when he says that your children are blessed, they'll be mighty in the earth, he means that. There are not going to be any exceptions. I don't care what little Zuby is up to these days. You understand what I'm saying? He's included. It ain't what you think, as Brother Stowe was. It ain't what it appears to be. Amen. What it appears to be is a test for you to get appearance out of your thoughts, to get what looks like what's going to happen out of your mind. Amen. And what the devil is interpreting what your situation is going to be like. So we must understand that when God does something, he does a total job. He does not have to make exceptions for our unbelief. He can bring us into perfect faith the way he needs us to be. See, your faith is not just for what you think you want. Your faith serves a better purpose, a higher purpose, to be honest with you. You never would know what God is going to use your faith for. If you develop it as much as you can and make it available to him, you will see mountains moved, curses broken, all kinds of, and miracles happen even out of your own bloodline. God's going to do it. But we've got to quit looking at natural things and reacting to natural things, getting disgusted, discouraged. Take them disses out of your vocabulary. Keep telling y'all that. You're not disgusted. You're just looking at the wrong stuff. You're too lazy to look at the word. Because the last time you looked in the word, you had a headache for 4 days. It was a Holy Ghost headache. You got me? You need to have another one and another one and another one and another one. And keep looking at what God is doing. Keep looking at the perfect law of liberty. God's law is perfect and nobody's excluded. You can do this. You can continue to believe God. You can get up every day believing God more than you did yesterday or just as much as. Amen. And this is doable. That's what you need to understand. This you can do. You need to be honest though. You need to quit sitting on the sidelines wondering. When's it going to happen? Stop that. It'll happen when you get back in faith. People who wonder are not believers, or at least they're not believing then. Quit wondering. Get back in faith. Then you, when you're in faith, you realize you don't care when it happens. You're just deliriously happy that God is doing something for you. See, we live on promise more than we live on reality. I'll say it again. We live on promise more than we live on reality. Because most of what God has told us is ours, we don't have it yet. Amen? And you have no idea when you're going to get it. You just know God said, and you're going to hold on to God said. That's really all you need to do. Just keep holding on to it. Listen, devil, I got a receipt right here that says that God is going to do this for me and that for me and that for me and that for me. I got a receipt. And I don't need your input, your doubt, and your whatever you're talking. I don't need you, man, and you don't. So God wants us to have those things. He really, really does. So let me see what I was going to show you about. Jesus lived a fully persuaded life. Everything that he did, he was fully persuaded that the Father would bring it to pass before he got involved in it. So he lived a full, what I call a full throttle life. He didn't hold nothing back. He blazed through the earth and God did. He completed his mission and ministry in three years. Nobody's topped that yet. You got me? So he shows you what's possible. Then he tells us, you're going to do greater things. Amen? And we just let that go in one ear and out the other. I say, okay, God, tell me about it. Makes me nervous to think about it. Makes me shiver and quake. But I'm going to think about it the best way I can. So here we see Jesus. Go to John chapter 11. Go to the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus goes to the tomb. He groaned within himself when he came to the grave. Human flesh sometimes has to intercede, move it out of the way. And there was a stone on it. Everything he does from this point on has one intention, and that is to get Lazarus out of that tomb on his own power, not the way he went in. Amen. He says here, take away the stone, and Martha complains about the odor. Dee, how would you like to be laying up somewhere dead, and God wants to pull you out, and your relatives don't want you stinking? You know, they wondered about you stinking. Huh? So he has to ignore it. So what do we all do? We hear unbelief and doubt. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And she goes off on a religious tangent talking about the end times. Huh? It's true. Amen. He tells the Father, I know that you always hear me, but because of the people, I said it, that they may believe that you sent me. He's still trying to get people to believe he's the Messiah. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with his grave clothes. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now, Jesus' intent was for Lazarus to come out then. Not next week. Not in 2 years. Not when he has more faith. Not when, and this is what we need to do. When we believe, we receive it. When we pray, we've got to believe for manifestation right now. But what if it shut up? See, you got to shut that little thing up. Because if you keep listening to that, what if it doesn't come out right now? You'll never believe for right now. So get hip to what's going on. The enemy's talking. Then the Bible said, a minute the word is sown, he comes to steal it. That's how it steals it. What if it doesn't? Well, I'm believing right now. Yeah, but it didn't come right now. I'm believing right now. Yeah, but what if it? I'm believing right now. See, you can persuade yourself. Right now is going to happen sometime. Why not right now? You got me? Whether you believe right now, next week, or believe it in 2 years, right now, it's got to be right now at some point. So you must believe right now, because it can manifest right now. It can happen any time we believe. And right now is a good time to start believing it'll happen. Amen? This should encourage you. You know, I don't know why people sitting up looking all funny at me and wondering and all that. Hey, you know, get on it. Right now is right now. This is why you don't have it right now, because we have put it off. We have, well, you know, it didn't happen right now. I guess it's gonna, right now. You keep saying right now. You keep thinking right now. You keep believing right now, and it'll happen right now. You know, we do this. Now listen, yesterday, who was here yesterday? Was y'all awake? That little girl, Brianna, brought that. What's her name, honey? Huh? Yeah. She came in and she was limping into my office. I didn't even ask if anybody needed prayer, but she was, I know God's going to take care of it. God, I'll be careful to do it better next time, you know. But she came limping in the office and walking on her tiptoes. And she said, you see, I hurt myself yesterday. I don't know. My leg's been hurting all night and I can't walk on it. I said, well, come on, we'll pray for you. My intention was not to say a prayer and let her go home limping. Why do we do that with stuff we want? And don't look at me like I got wings coming out of my back, because you know I don't. Cut it out. Most of y'all think worse of me than I really am anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, fear of leadership and fear of authority will do that to you. So you got to clean up your thinking, because you'll begin to understand, if you do that, you'll begin to understand that God will use you too. I say that to let you know he will use you too. You got me? And there's points where you work with people. Now I had her come up, I prayed for her. I had her take off them clogs. I said, number one, them things will kill you. You understand what I'm saying? They'll put you to death. and they got all them lumps sitting on them and knots on them and stuff, and you can't wear the fries, okay, take them off. We'll give you a fair chance to. And so I prayed for her, and she didn't, you know, was still hurting, and, you know, she limped on it a little bit, and I just refused to let her go without. See, this is what she's fully persuaded. God will do this for her. He wants her well. He doesn't want her going out of here the same way she came out infirm. You got me? These are simple things to believe. It's not, I'm not doing anything. I'm just listening as best I can to what God instructs me to tell her to do to exercise her faith. Amen? You don't know what things cause people to use your faith. And it may look like they're hurt and you're forcing them to do stuff, but God is healing them every time they exercise their faith. And so it got to the point where I was walking with her, and I wasn't about to run. I didn't feel like running. Y'all know me by now. Now, I used to do that stuff with people across the altar, but we ain't going there today. She run by herself. And so, amen, you know, and when I felt it was okay to let her do it, and I told her, I said, now you just run on out of here. And she took off, and she looked, she said, it's not hurting anymore. You got me? Amen. It's the same operation if you're getting bills paid, if you're waiting for something for healing in your own body. You just refuse to leave it the same way you came in. You just refuse. Now, it may happen in one setting. It may happen the next day. It may, but have that, I just refuse to put up with this any longer. Amen. And in as long as it takes is what it takes, but you've got to have the same intent. Jesus' intention was for Lazarus to walk out of that tomb, and he didn't leave him in there. Amen? Because he knew the will of the Father was to heal and to get him raised up from the dead. Once you know the will of the Father, that's all you need to know. It's God's will that we be whole. It's God's will that we be healed. It's God's will that we be all of the above. And refuse to take no for an answer. Just allow God to do what he needs to do to and be fully persuaded. Don't let yourself linger in doubt. If you got doubt, keep talking to yourself. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. She persuaded herself. She was going, no, I'm not going home bleeding again. I'm done with that. And I mean I'm done. And God, what do I need to do? And he helps you when you're done with stuff that you're not supposed to have, that he didn't ordain for you. So God wants us to live this way, folks. Stay in the mind of the Spirit. That's all it takes. You know, it's not like, well, I don't have time for all that. What do you have time for? Huh? What do you have time for? Let God see that you want to be fully persuaded. If you want it, he has it for you. You got me? Amen. All right, why don't we stop? Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, wait a minute. I need to apologize. I didn't mean I was real flippant what I said about most of you not wanting me to be in your life or whatever. That was wrong. Got me? That was wrong. Amen. Not most of you. You understand what I'm saying? But you know, you pick up on things, and I don't want to put that on everybody. Okay? Amen. So if it fits you, repent. But because it's true somewhere. You got me? If it fits you, repent. Because you got to have right perceptions about God and his servants in order to be successful in the things of God. Amen. And so let's just get it right now. Amen. I fessed up. Shouldn't have been so flip talking. Amen. But you pick these things up. And to me, that's a major hindrance of why people don't receive from God. Because it'll hinder you. Amen. You know, as ministers, we have to be careful we don't criticize other ministers. Because, see, they've got something we need one day, and you'll wish you had thought better of them so that you can receive it. So we all fall short on this thing, and so we don't want to get over in the air, and we don't want to get in the false accusation. But I know people carry that sometimes. And so if it's there, you need to get rid of it so that God can help you and bring you into a place where you need to be. Amen? All right, so we're going to pray for people. I'm going to pray for anybody now that wants prayer. Come on up and I'll pray for you. Praise God.
Declaration that Jesus made.
I don't have Rona. She don't have me. I can't get Rona. She can't get me. And I don't have whatever it is that you're fighting. Just name it, call it out. Tell him it doesn't have you and it don't have me. Thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, we are healed. Amen, amen, amen. Again, it's so decreed. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord.